don't worry about persecution. Maybe Timothy had some concerns along those lines, and Paul's encouraging him. Notice verse 13, hold fast the form of sound doctrine, of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Don't let that sound doctrine, those sound words go, Timothy. Hold fast to them. Just encouraging him. He reminds Timothy in verse 15 of a couple that didn't hold fast. This thou knowest, that all they who are in Asia turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. These two individuals turned away from Paul. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, they didn't lose their salvation. Were they saved and yet turned away from Paul and were not faithful? Were they unsaved? They made a profession of faith and then walked away from that profession? We're not told. We can't draw any conclusions from that. All we know is that these two individuals turned away from Paul. That's really all he says. You know that all they who are in Asia turned away from me. Well, turning away from Paul doesn't mean that you lost your salvation. Turning away from Paul, you may have been saved. You'd had a disagreement with Paul. We know that John Mark walked away from Paul for a while. You know, and it's a little bit off track, but I wonder how many of us could have worked with Paul. You know, there was no monkeying around with Paul. I think a lot of us would have been pretty soft when it came to trying to stick with Paul. So that doesn't really mean anything as far as their salvation is concerned. But they did turn away from him. But then in verse 16, he reminds Timothy of one who didn't turn away from him. He says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Earlier on, he says, Timothy, don't be afraid, or don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner of Christ. Don't be ashamed of me. And now he gives an example of one who was not ashamed of Paul. He was not ashamed of Paul's imprisonment and his chains. He says in verse 17, when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, you know very well. So just these words of encouragement to Timothy, don't be timid, don't be ashamed, don't be shy, don't be afraid of persecution, don't be like these that walked away from me, be like Onesiphorus, just words of encouragement. Then he comes to chapter 2, and he says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he gives some examples there in verses 3 through 6. He talks about the dedication of a soldier, and that's how Timothy needed to be in his ministry. Dedication of a soldier. He talks about the discipline of an athlete. In verse 5, a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. There's discipline there as an athlete. He talks about the diligence of the farmer. The farmer that labors must be first partaker of the fruit. So he's given these examples, these illustrations, these metaphors, if you will. The metaphor of the soldier and the athlete and the farmer. And then he says in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know, he's reminding Timothy, if you have any inclination to just kind of give up and walk away, remember the gospel. Remember what Christ did for you, Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, or the seed of David. There's two thoughts there. He's Jesus Christ. Remember Sunday morning? Jesus Christ. What's the meaning of those words? Jesus, he is God. He's the God-man. And he is the Savior. He's Yahweh. He is the Messiah, the Christ. He's that promised one. And he's the king. He's the priest. Remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Just that simple statement alone reminds Timothy that Jesus is the king. He's coming back to establish his kingdom. Don't give up, Timothy. We win in the end. Don't give up. He's of the seed of David. He's going to reign on that throne. He was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. The gospel, died for our sins, buried, rose again the third day. So he's just reminding Timothy of that gospel. And that, then he says, "For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things." He said, as I remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David, who died for our sins, buried, and rose again, and even though I'm suffering affliction, I'm going to endure in that affliction. I'm suffering for my faith, but I'm going to endure because, he says, it's for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's just a wonderful challenge to Timothy. Wonderful challenge to Timothy. And then he comes to this, it is a faithful saying. And that's one of Paul's favorite statements in the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. He makes this statement, it is a faithful saying. And when he makes that statement, what is to follow is something that was, it's a quote of some kind that was familiar to Timothy, familiar to Titus. When he uses it in Titus, he's quoting a familiar statement. Many believe that it was possibly a hymn, one of the hymns of the early church that they would actually sing, and Paul is quoting a hymn, and that's possible. Whatever it is he's quoting here, it's something that was familiar to Timothy, and Paul is putting his stamp of approval on that quote. This is a faithful saying. This is a true statement. If we be dead with him, we'll also live with him. More literally, and some of your other translations would have it this way, if we have died with him, we will live with him. That's obviously talking about the time of salvation. You know, Romans 6 talks about when we trust Christ as our Savior, we die with Him, we're buried with Him, and we are raised with a new life. That's salvation. We died to ourselves. That old man is crucified. That old man that was a slave to sin, we surrender that, and that old man dies. And we're raised with a new life. We are a new creation. We are given eternal life. And that's what he's referring to here. If we have died with him, we've been buried with him, and we've also been raised with him. We live with him. So he's talking about really salvation there. If we've died with him, we also live with him. And we'll live with him for eternity. It is a future tense there. If we have died with him, we shall live with him. Future. Those who want to use these verses to show that you can lose your salvation, the first statement here says just the opposite. If I've died with him, I will live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Or the word there, suffer, again, depending on your translation, it's the idea, it's the word to endure or to persevere. If we persevere with him, we shall reign with him. Now, what Paul's saying here is not that we'll only reign with him if we hang on and persevere and endure. Keep it in the context. If we've died with him, we shall live with him, and in essence, he's continuing on. See, let me step back a moment here. There's four couplets in these verses. The first two are positive, the first two are negative. If we die with him, we shall live with him. That's the first couplet. That's a positive statement. The second couplet is if we persevere, if we endure, we'll reign with him. That's a positive thing. But if we deny him, he'll also deny us. That's the negative. And if we believe not, Yeah, he abides faithful, he'll not deny himself. But that believe not is a negative. So there's four couplets. The first two are positive, first two are negative. Obviously, the first two go together, and the last two go together. Two positive, two negative. So in the two positive ones, he said, if you've died with him, you shall live with him. That's salvation. Now, this second statement, tied in with that first, as you persevere with him, if you persevere with him, you will reign with him. The ones who have truly died with him will persevere. The two go together. If you have been truly saved, you will persevere. You will endure. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean there won't be times when we'll fail him. It doesn't mean there won't be times when we will doubt. Doesn't mean there aren't going to be times when we'll lack faith. But in the end, the true believer is going to persevere and endure. And we have the promise that we will reign with him. And so the first two go together. And then we have this second, these last two couplets. If we deny him, he also deny us. Now this is just, these are general statements. It's not like Paul saying we in the sense of Timothy, you and me. This is a quote, possibly from a hymn. So it's general. If we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we persevere, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, why would somebody jump to the conclusion that that's talking about a believer who all of a sudden denies the Lord, and so therefore God's going to deny him and he loses his salvation? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that it's a believer. He simply says, if you deny him, he's going to deny you. Well, isn't that true? Isn't it true that if somebody denies Christ, this Jesus Christ of the seed of David, who raised from the dead according to the gospel, if you deny him, isn't it true he's going to deny you? See, this is talking about an unbeliever. Not talking about a believer who all of a sudden turns his back on God and denies him. It's talking about an unbeliever. Christ himself, in Matthew, I've got it written down here, Matthew chapter 32, whoever acknowledged me before men, I will also, excuse me, chapter 10, verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven, but whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father. It's just a simple statement. If you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you. That's all Paul's saying here. Not saying anything about this being a believer who all of a sudden changes his mind and denies the Lord, and so therefore he loses his salvation. He's simply saying, one who denies him, he'll deny. And then he says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. The word believe not here is, and again, some of your translations may say, if you are faithless, he will remain faithful. Now, some have taken this to mean a believer who is not exercising faith, a believer who is faithless, a believer who doubts, a believer who fails the Lord, that God is going to be faithful to himself, can't deny himself, God will still be faithful, and you're not going to lose your salvation. I don't really believe that's what Paul's saying here. This last two couplets is talking about an unbeliever. One who denies the Lord, he's going to deny him. One who is faithless, and that word faithless does many times in Scripture. It's used with reference to an unbeliever. One who is faithless, one who's an unbeliever, God will remain faithful. He did not deny himself. What's he saying? He's saying God's going to stay true to his word. Just because you don't believe him doesn't mean he's going to change his mind. If you deny him, he'll deny you. And if you don't believe in him, he's going to be faithful to his word, and he will bring the judgment that he said he would bring. He's not going to deny himself. Now, it could be that there's that we're talking here about apostasy. Those who made a profession of faith, those who claim to be a Christian, but in the end they deny the Lord and they do not believe in him. They are faithless. Just because you've changed your mind, just because you've changed your word, you said you believed in him, but now you don't, just because you changed your word, God's not going to change his. He's going to remain faithful to his word. He will not deny himself. And so these last two couplets is not talking about a believer who then changes his mind and denies the Lord and loses his salvation. It's talking about one who was never saved. Maybe they claimed to be. Maybe they made a profession of it. But then they deny the Lord and they are faithless. They don't believe in him. They've changed their word. God's not going to change his. God's going to remain faithful to his word. The thought here, deny him and believe not. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. There's those two thoughts. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Here we have just the opposite. You're denying with your mouth and you're not believing in your heart. That's an unbeliever. A believer is one who confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart. The unbeliever is one who denies with his mouth and does not believe with his heart. We're talking about an unbeliever. We're not talking about one who has lost his salvation. Again, we may be talking about one who made a profession, claimed to be saved, and there are a lot of those who have claimed to be saved and then later they've walked away from it. And that's why many believe that people lose their salvation. Here's one that claims to be saved. They seem to be living for the Lord, and then they walk away from it. They want nothing to do with it. They deny him. They don't believe in him. It's not that they lost their salvation. They simply never had salvation. If they continue to deny him, God will deny them. And if they have changed their word, God's not going to change his. Glenn?
I was thinking, too, the example of Peter. Peter denied Christ three times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no evidence that he ever lost his son.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus said, Peter, on this rock,
mm-hmm.
I will build my church.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, was he denying?
Yeah. Peter did deny his Lord. And that's where we come back to, certainly, there are times when we may fail him. But a true believer in the end is going to persevere. Peter persevered. When he was faced with his sin, he recognized it, he acknowledged it, he confessed it, he was ashamed of it, and Christ forgave him. No. True, true. Good point. Peter's denial was, I don't know him. Obviously, in his heart, he knew him. Right. Mm-hmm. Good point. John?
He will always be there, no matter what you've done or haven't done, or with him or without him. When you decide to go back, he's going to be there.
True.
Okay, so
true.
As he'll always remain faithful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. He'll remain faithful to his word. He'll remain faithful to his word, and one who truly comes back to him in repentance, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will save us as we come back, as we come to him in repentance and confession. If we don't, he'll be faithful to his word there too. and he'll bring the judgment that he said he would. Surely.
I love this in chapter, verse 19, the Lord knows all the
Lord. Yeah.
We can go through all this, the Lord knows.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Lord knows those who are his, and so those who deny him, he knows their heart. Yep. Very true. Good point. Other questions or comments?
I was just thinking of Matthew 10:30, which I think is 2, actually, 32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before the Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before men.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of before men. And that's what made me think of Peter.
Mm-hmm. 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 Again, in that, you know, we go to that verse and we tend to understand, okay, one who is truly saved, Christ will acknowledge him before the Father. One who's not saved, Christ will deny before the Father. We have no problem in the context of Matthew 10. Some come to this and all at once they seem to have a problem, and it's like there's no difference. We're talking about a believer and we're talking about an unbeliever. Just like Christ was talking about a believer and he was talking about an unbeliever in Matthew 10. Any other thoughts?
Just as you said Sunday night about...
What did I say Sunday night? I don't remember. I have no idea what I said. Yeah, and at the second coming, the one left is the believer who will enter into the kingdom. The one taken is the one taken in judgment. And again, coming back to what Shirley just said, the Lord knows. The Lord knows those who are his. He's not going to make any mistakes. He's not going to take one in judgment and then say, oops, I didn't mean to take that one. He knows. Very good. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you again for our time together tonight, and thank you that you do always remain faithful to your word. You'll never deny yourself. And I thank you, Father, for these lessons in your word. Thank you for the encouragement that Paul gave to Timothy, and may we find encouragement likewise in those same words. Help us, Father, to recognize that as we have died to ourselves, we shall indeed live with him. As we persevere, we shall also reign with him. Father, we thank you for that wonderful hope that is ours in Christ. And help us to be faithful in proclaiming that gospel and not be concerned about any persecution that might come our way, as Paul instructed Timothy to remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David, who was raised the third day according to the gospel. And may we not shy away from proclaiming that truth, but may we do so with boldness. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.